Okay, and let's read something here out of the book of the Testament of Adam. This is Testament of Adam, chapter 3, 2 and 3, where the Lord again speaks to Adam. He says this, "Adam, Adam, do not fear." And we can see the language right there, which the word "do not fear" seems to be part of the vocabulary of the Spirit to us Adamites, or when the Spirit speaks to that which is the flesh. The first thing he presents himself as, "Fear not." And here he says the same thing. Thousands of years ago, Adam, do not fear. He says here, "You wanted to be a god." Okay? And of course, Adam was a witness, as all of us were, at the time of the viewing, okay, of the glitter, okay, that of the glowing city, the holy city. We'll be talking more about that. Okay, Adam was there, also with us, okay, but he was selected first, that his soul was selected first to be in representation, okay, of all those which were following the flesh. But here, Adam, by the God code, okay, wanted to excel beyond the of his present restrictions, okay, as all Adamites do. Now, all Adamites want to excel beyond their present restrictions. All those that have a conscience, okay, which are Adamites and angels. Okay, we don't witness this in the animal world. Okay, the animal world does not want to excel beyond its present restrictions. Okay, it works only within the boundaries of its own signature. Okay, Adamites are restricted to their signature, but their imagination wants to take them beyond those borders. Okay, and explore the depths of the universe or the depths of the oceans. Okay, or to discover, to gain more knowledge. Well, here the Lord is telling Adam, "Adam," he says, "Adam, do not fear. You want to be a god." And the Lord says, "I will make you a god." That is exactly what Jesus says. "Have I not said that ye are gods, and all you children the Most High?" We can see another reflection. Jesus' language, okay, was depicting a conversation which he took with Adam 4,000 years, okay, 4,000 years ago from that point. So he says, "You want to be a god? Not right." He says, "I will make you a god, but not right now." Okay, and of course, this is a promise, okay, in regarding the plan of God, which he assigned to us, concerning being heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. Because "I will make you a god, but not right now, but after a space of many years," which has to do with the time frame which our Father determined for this plan to be completed, to unfold and to be completed. Okay, it would unfold and be completed within its season, okay, as we see also flowers. Okay, flowers, okay, have their the pinnacle of their expression. Okay, and then they go back into their cycle. Okay, but we'll have the pinnacle of expression, okay, but continue on perpetually. He says, "But after many years," that's 7,000 years, and now he says here, "And I will set you at the right hand of my divinity," okay, which also Jesus, when he ascended, when he spoke to Mary there, says, "I have yet to ascend to my God and your God and my Father and your Father." Of course, that's right at the right hand of divinity, which also reveals the completion of the cycle of life. "And I will set you at the right hand of my divinity, and I will make you a god just like you wanted." And we can see that numerous times this was brought to Adam's attention, okay, throughout the writings here, okay, concerning the Godhead. All right, that's a interesting promise, which all of us will experience. All of us will enter into that reality. Okay, right now, we have the testimony of that reality engraved within us, engrafted within us, okay, and in our hearts. Here's another one from the Testament of Adam, chapter 4. This talks about the orders of angels. Okay, now God established the order of angels in order to oversee his kingdom, okay, which is the government of God. Okay, and now under the angels are Adamites. But a time will come, okay, when we'll be over angels. But here he says the lowest order of the angels, okay, are the guardian angels. Okay, they watch over and accompany every human for his protection. Then we have the second order is the archangels, directing everything in this creation according to the plan of God, including wildlife, revelation, powers. They care for it. And then we have the third order, which is called the archons, okay, which has to do with it moving the air so that the clouds rise from the ends of the earth. They also the ones, the powers that issue rain, snow, hail, dust, blood, thunder, and lightning. Then we have the fourth order. The fourth order is the authorities, the administrations of the lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Then the fifth order is the powers, where they keep demons from destroying the creation of God, that is, out of jealousy and envy toward human beings. The sixth order is the dominions. This is its service. They rule over kingdoms. Now, this is what Daniel saw. They rule over kingdoms, and in their hands are victory and defeat in battle. Of course, then comes the cherubim, the seraphim, and the thrones. The cherubim, they bear up in reverence his throne and keep the seals, which we see in the book of Revelation, as well as also in Ezekiel. We see the cherubims bearing the throne of God. And here's the other, next level is the seraphim. They serve the inner chamber of the Lord. We can see this unfold in the books of Enoch. The services of these great powers, they serve the inner chamber of the Lord. We also will be assigned to these powerful angels, which will also serve us within the chambers of our throne. And then we have the thrones. The thrones guard the gates of the Holy of Holies. And of course, that's within the seventh heaven. And the holiest of holies, which is, that's where the veil is, regarding the mysteries which are concealed behind that veil. All right, let's read one more verse right here and get started. You see the time is up. But we're going to read one more here. Something out of the book of Philippians. And this is about rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Of course, when the Apostle Paul selects that particular word of rejoicing, he's talking about concerning building and glorifying. Rejoice in the Lord, which is we're glorifying by bonding with the Spirit. The anointing, those that labor with the anointing, are increasing in fruit. And the fruit has to do with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The wisdom and knowledge and understanding, which we gain by this power, molds our perception, and also assists us, strengthening our faith. So the Apostle Paul is saying to the saints here under his stewardship, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Because this is what we communicate in your charity. We build by the Spirit of life, which we communicate in our charity. And this is our moderation, that your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. By the work of the Spirit, which is the working of regeneration, we can see that He sets the pace. He sets the pace for our growth. That our growth continually excels to a certain point, and then again He purges and excels to a certain point, and He purges. That's your cycles of growth. And that's what He says in Philippians chapter 4. Alright, now we're going to get started here. The rest of the saints coming in. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Whereas in the book of Philippians. We're going through Philippians again, bring some more things out for you. We left off here around verse 10, but we can start there. Excellent, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Or that which is totally wholesome. That which is sanctified. Is totally wholesome. It's good for your faith. All the knowledge of the world is evil because it doesn't spring from the throne of God, and neither does it work faith. The knowledge that you view on your television set, does not bear forth that which is convenient or profitable for your faith. So he says here that you may approve the things that are excellent, which will provide substance for your faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The revelation God provides for us, is given for the purpose of sustaining our faith. We read about the testimonies of those, which our Lord continually sustained with revelation, like Abraham and Sarah as an example, and as a good example of the perpetual sustaining of his faith by the Lord's visitations. And we're called the children of Abraham, by faith in Jesus Christ, because the same pattern and power is assisting us and strengthening us daily. These are his visitations. His daily visitations provides us an abundance of grace from his throne. And by these tokens, which also carry the witness of our Father with him, we begin to see him and we begin to understand him. Our relationship here begins to mature with these things. That you may be sincere and without vice and false tokens. You may be sincere without vice and false tokens. Without offense. Being absent of this kind of pretense. By the gifts which Jesus issues. upon his visitations. That's what he says here, without offense till the day of Christ. That has to do with the days of his visitations, when his presence comes to share these experiences with us, okay, by which we're recording them, okay, and I hope all the saints are recording these things, okay, in the reflection book. Okay, we call it a reflection book. A reflection book is another word for your diary, but it's a spiritual diary, okay, by which you can reflect. Okay, you can take time every once in a while. You take time and pull out your reflection book and flip through the pages of these experiences. Okay, and you begin to understand, okay, what was mysterious to you maybe many years ago starts to take form in your understanding. I can remember many years ago, the Lord gave me particular dreams, which were in part and difficult to put together. It's difficult to put a puzzle together if you only have a few pieces of a 1,000-piece puzzle. So over the period of time, through the Lord's visitations, he gives you another piece of the puzzle. So you start with the borders and the corners, and then you work your way in, and regarding matching particular colors and form, the form of his design. And so the dreams, the level one dreams which we have received, begins to fit little by little, starting in the corners and working in. We visually begin to see something, a little here and a little there. Okay, so we know in part, we prophesy in part, because the knowledge which our Father provides for us, okay, again, he's issuing to us these pieces. All right, well, let's go on here. Okay, being without offense to the day of Christ, which means without offense, which has to do, we're continually progressing within our faith. Okay, when you don't progress in faith, then you stand in offense towards God. But if you progress in your faith, okay, which is continually reflecting, okay, as you're continually reflecting and you're laboring within your priesthood, okay, and by laboring with your priesthood, okay, you're also acknowledging, okay, the steward of the house, okay, because Aaron acknowledged Moses, okay, though Aaron was older than Moses, but he acknowledged Moses, the elder shall serve the younger, and the priesthood is provided for the stewardship, as Satanel, okay, was to be Adam's priesthood. Okay, Satanel was to provide Adam the substance and knowledge and assistance which he needed. Okay, and Satan did not view that. Okay, did not view that service, okay, with good intentions. Okay, and of course that's what he's debating to God, because Satan says, "I'm the elder; he's the younger. He needs to serve me." But God says, "No, the elder should serve the younger." And it was there that our Father determined that the elder should serve the younger, and that pattern has been carried forth, as Esau was the elder, was to serve the younger, Jacob. But instead he rebelled. Same thing with Cain and Abel. The elder was to serve the younger. Okay, but as Cain, the children of the flesh, okay, fight against that which is those of the spirit. They refuse to work under the younger. Now, and of course, but we will see the reversing of that during the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, and from that point on, okay, as children of light. All right, so he goes on here, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Okay, the fruits of righteousness, because the soul enlarges, okay, by these superpowers. Okay, this is the kingdom of our Father. Okay, superpowers. Okay, that is, it's not a power, okay, that's relevant to things which are common to man. It's a power that's, say, that's uncommon to the logic of man. So it's a superpower. Okay, it is beyond Adam's capability. As the Spirit came upon Samson, that was like a superpower. Okay, you can see the same thing with superheroes, which are depicted, okay, in Disney characters, okay, or comic characters, all these movies that are coming out with these superpowers. Okay, that is beyond the common. Okay, and that which the Spirit provides for us is beyond the common experience, beyond the natural experience. Okay, that which is natural, okay, is comprehended by the logic of man, but that which is supernatural can only be revealed by the Spirit. Okay, truth is supernatural. It can't be discovered, okay, through natural means, through the research, okay, by researching of syntax, language, culture, or race. Okay, you will not find truth in regarding the kingdom of God. Okay, though you may find, okay, certain glimpses of, okay, enlightenment about certain cultures or certain races, okay, or certain forms of worship, okay, of ancient times. That's what archaeologists do. Every time they find a piece of something in the dust there, they uncover in the dirt, okay, they feel they are enlightened. Okay, they find certain inscriptions on it. So they take a little piece of a little piece of pottery or a piece of a fragment of some kind of a tablet, okay, and then they try to piece together a history, okay, in regarding the ancient people. So that is natural truth, okay, natural truth, okay, which is honored by the world. That's the wisdom of the world. Okay, and of course, we don't find our history in the soil. We don't find our history within the frame of time. We find our history, okay, within the bosom of our Father. That's why we say from the bosom to the bosom, B equals B. From the bosom to the bosom, okay, the cycle of life, which began in Jesus Christ, okay, showing us this divine pattern. We'll be talking more about that as we move on. So he says here, Paul says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Okay, these are the superpowers that faith increases by. Okay, we're increasing the house of Jesus, okay, because he's the true vine, okay, or the true vine or the sweet wine. Okay, now the wild vine is the bitter grape. Okay, the wild vine is the bitter grape, and then that's the and the sour grape. That is the false religious system. The false religious system is as the wild vine, okay, and the sour grape. Okay, as the prophets bring that out, okay, concerning the children, the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edge, okay, which shows that the children are merely reciting the history of iniquity, okay, so the knowledge which the fathers pass down to the children, okay, is iniquitous, okay, it's sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, okay, which means they're loving to bite, to devour, to scold. Okay, and we can see that also with the Pharisees toward Jesus. The Pharisees, as the religious and common things of man, the flesh, okay, was openly opposing, okay, that which is of the spirit, the supernatural, okay, the uncommon. Okay, the anointing is uncommon to this dimension. Okay, it's uncommon this dimension, okay, but yet we're fellow citizens and saints of heaven. But it's not uncommon to us. Hey, these are the things which we sup upon every day. Okay, as the Lord brings out, as he that opens the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. Okay, there is an equal exchange of substance, okay, for the purpose of fellowship and growth, even as the Lord visited Abraham. By his obedience of faith, the Lord is well pleased, as he is also pleased with us, okay, our obedience of faith. So being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, so we can see where the fruits come from, the tree. Okay, we'll be talking more about that in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. In John chapter 14, we are going to talk about the mansions, but in John chapter 15, we're talking about the true vine. Okay, the mansion is connected to the true vine. The chambers of the heart, okay, are that which is filled with the sweet wine. Okay, so being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, and now we can see the purpose of this, the root and the fruit, under the glory and praise of God. Okay, to be worthy and to bear and to wear the crown. Okay, this is the crown of virtue. The fruit, okay, is that crown of virtue which our Father delights in. Okay, which has to do with your charity. Because the charity, okay, is that power, okay, which is the distributing factor for all other virtues to be born within you. Okay, so as you continually express charity in your priesthood, these other virtues begin to be born within you. Because charity carries all these other powers with it. So being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So we see the word glory right there, because we're talking about that which is substance. The substance which brings us into his throne. Okay, and the praise of God, okay, has to do with that which is okay, above all creation. Okay, we are the praise of his grace. We are this vessel which we're in is the okay, is bearing within it, see, the praise of the glory of his grace, okay, which is above all creation, which is concealed when behind the veil of your flesh right now will be openly revealed and openly displayed, okay, on that great day of judgment, before the eyes of all souls, before the eye of every soul that existed within its dimension, okay, will bear witness to the design and wisdom of God, okay, in this open display. So when your soul is opened up, okay, it's like fireworks. Okay, it'd be like an expression of fireworks, like you're watching fireworks when they shoot the rockets in the air and they explode and they give all kinds of different forms, okay, and colors, okay, and they make explosions and sounds. Okay, well, when our Father opens us up, the glory of his light can be fully displayed in the great brilliance of his work of fruit bearing called the praise of the glory of his grace. Okay, and this is, the very seed of his work, okay, being expressed within us, like the opening of a flower. Okay, a flower goes through its forms of powers, okay, from a bud until it fully begins to unfold its beauty. Okay, every day that passes, it unfolds, there's a form of expression. Okay, and when it said it's fullness of blossoming, praise of the glory, okay, of that seed, fully realized and is admired. Okay, when we see a flower, okay, and it's full of expression of its color or its fragrance, okay, how it glows in the sun and how it's set, okay, within the arrangement of other flowers. Okay, it's a marvel. Okay, because that design and that life form came right out from the Father's bosom. And we see the detail that our Father puts, okay, within the natural things. How much more, okay, does he care for us in the supernatural things to the praise of the glory of his grace, okay, which we read about in Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, so here we can see unto the glory and praise of God. Okay, he's governing our destiny through these tokens which he's provided for us. By these things, he oversees that virtue being nurtured within us, okay, to be received back to the Father, to be put as pillars of fire within the chambers of our throne, but whereby our Father continually views our presence there in memorial as a divine plan, and he takes great delight within this. That's the joy of the Father. Okay, now we're going to jump over to the Gospel of John, so make sure you put your marker here, okay, in Philippians, because we'll be coming back there. Okay, but we'll go to the Gospel of John chapter 14 right now. And in John chapter 14, we're going to see some more interesting things. Okay, and John 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Okay, and that's the same language that we read about, okay, when the Lord visited Adam. Oh, Adam, Adam, fear not. Okay, I know you want to be a God, but not right now. But you shall be later. Okay, but of course the Lord was explaining to Adam, okay, that the suffering must proceed before the reward of the glitter. Okay, Adam saw the glitter as we all saw the glitter. But now Adam was in a state of this testing and challenge. The challenge and choice of will. And the Lord was providing him, which he promised, I promise to give you revelation, and I promise to visit you, okay, and I promise to sustain you, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, my plan for all my consenters, okay, would be to sustain them as I promised and to bring them back to my Father's bosom, and what I promised I will do. Okay, and he's been doing that now for almost 7,000 years. So here he says here, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now in my Father's house, so pick up your highlighter and highlight the word house there. Because when he says the word house here, he's talking about your origin of birth, your root and place of refuge. In my Father's house are many mansions. Right? I'm going to highlight that also. So let not your heart be troubled. It means don't be confused or double-minded of whose house is your origin of birth, roots of faith, or place of refuge. And Jesus is saying, accept my refuge. See, you believe in God, believe also in me. Okay, well, by believing into your stewardship, accepting your stewardship isn't denying the Father. That's what Jesus is showing them. By acknowledging my presence here, as the Messiah, as Jesus was telling them, when you're acknowledging my presence here as the Messiah, you are not denying the Father which sent me. Okay, I and my Father are one. The anointing of my Father rests upon me. Okay, this is what you're acknowledging. All those acknowledge the anointing upon that stewardship, okay, are acknowledging the one that has given it. Okay, and he that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. So we're talking about the progression and presence of the anointing upon his issuance and upon his reception, okay, being received back to the Father again. Okay, so let not your heart be troubled, okay, not to be double-minded, because those that accept those that walk by faith or those that accept the anointing. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me as your steward and the father of the true vine, which we see in chapter 15. If you just turn your page over there, you'll see in chapter 15 where it says, I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. So you can see how the Lord, okay, is bringing the understanding of the apostles, is progressing to this point. He's talking about the true vine as that tree of life, not the fruitless knowledge which Satan planted. The fruitless knowledge is that which is born of the soil. The knowledge of the tree of life is that which our father planted. Okay, which of course Adam was denied after his transgression, because the fruit of this knowledge is our baptism, and also it sustains the flesh, sustains the shell which you're in. Okay, and this is what he brings out. Lest they live forever in Genesis. Lest he put forth his hand and partake of this fruit and live forever. Okay, he's talking about the shell, okay, which he was in, the orb which he was in, okay, would be eternally sustained, okay, by contact, because our father put power, the father put his word within that fruit. He put the power within that vessel, okay, whereupon ingesting it, it would eternally, okay, sustain the vessel. The vessel would not go into a retrograde, okay, and perish, go back to its former, okay, form of dust. Okay, so he says, I'm the true vine, and my father is the husbandman, being the overseer of this fruit. Now we go back to chapter 14. So he goes here, in my father's house are many mansions. Okay, and he's acknowledging here, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Okay, as your steward and father, the true vine. You all saw the glitter of the holy city. And this is what he's saying, in my father's house are many mansions. This is the soul and the origin of your birth. Okay, the habitations and chambers of our father's heart. Okay, in my father's house are many mansions. Did we talk about the house of David last week? Okay, all those that were of faith joined themselves to David. And all those that joined themselves to David were called the house of David. All those that joined to Saul were called the house of Saul. Okay, all those that followed after Saul were called the house of Saul. Saul was their steward. Okay, Saul also was their refuge. Okay, but the angel of the Lord departed from Saul, and the Lord sent an evil angel, okay, which would afflict him. Okay, would afflict Saul, because the evil angel has to work with false knowledge, and that's exactly what Saul was working with, false knowledge. Okay, false knowledge continually binds the soul to guilt. And when it binds the soul to guilt, its only form of expression, okay, would be either falling to a state of depression, okay, or in a state of aggression. Okay, and we see that King Saul, okay, followed after that aggression, okay, and wanted to blame David for all his bad feelings, okay, and it wasn't David that was doing it, okay, but we can see there was a conflict, okay, between these kingdoms, the flesh and the spirit, okay, in light and darkness. Okay, so in my father's house are many mansions and chambers. If it were not so, I would have told you, okay, which Jesus is saying, I'm not drawing upon your lust for this. Okay, I'm not saying these things to add to the aspiration of life. Okay, so he goes on, in my father's house, that's the soul, chambers, orb, you want to call it an orb, are many mansions. But these are the chambers of your habitation. That every chamber of your habitation, okay, will be the residence of your throne. Now, your presence and the residence of your throne there will be as a pillar of fire. Okay, which we can see in the book of Revelation, and they shall be a pillar. I'll make them a pillar in the temple of my God. Okay, the temple has to do with the house and chambers. See, where a throne would be located, okay, and as pillars of fire. And we know pillars of fire attended the children of Israel. They were called the children of Israel, being the seed of faith. And they were being represented by that pillar of fire. Okay, the angel that attended to them was a refuge, a shadow or a cloud by day, and of course a warming fire by night. Okay, to give them light. Okay, and that worked with the steward. Okay, the stewardship of Moses related to the revelations which he received through that anointing. So in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, not drawing upon your aspiration. Now I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a house or orb, a refuge, a throne, and a power for you. That's what he's telling them. Okay, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, see the cycle being completed, I will come again. So the cycle is completed. As a farmer plants the seed, he returns to the field to harvest it. Right, he goes to the field in order to plow, to plant, and then the harvest. Okay, so we can see the same thing upon the Lord's visitation. To plow, to plant, to harvest. Okay, bringing the harvest into the barn. Okay, and we'll be brought back to our Father's bosom in fullness. Okay, so I go to prepare a place for you. And he says here, I will come again. I will come again. I'm going to come again to what? To receive you as the harvest. I'm going to receive you to myself. Okay, that's when we enter the light. That where I am, there you may be also. Okay, can you read about that? In the book of Revelation, concerning our reception. Okay, our reception upon the rapture, okay, is to be will be embraced by the presence of his light and taken into the orb of his light. Okay, immediately we be shifted into the presence of the seventh heaven. Okay, passing course through the universe. Okay, which will only take a blink of an eye. Okay, we'd be within the seventh heaven. Okay, and our captain of salvation, okay, will lead us through the altar of fire and regarding, the purification. Because we have our bodies, we have our spirit, our soul, and our body, and a new spiritual body. Okay, whereby we pass through the veil, okay, of the veil of the altar, through the courts of the temple, into the very presence and the veil of the throne. Okay, we'll be with him forever. Okay, whatever he thinks, we'll hear, wherever he speaks, we'll, and acts, we also be witnesses of these things. Okay, so where our Lord is, there shall we be also, all the time. Okay, so when he's the seventh heaven, that's where we're at. When he's on earth, that's where we're at. Okay, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive it in myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Okay, as we continue to follow suit, okay, we'll receive the proper garments, the proper crowns, the proper rewards, the giftings, which he's provided for us to function as he is. So where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now this is kind of interesting. See, where I go, you know, and the way you know. Okay, that has to do with the crystal sea, the sea of glass and crystal. Okay, and of course the apostles at this point, okay, were listening to Jesus, thought he was relating to that, his presence just on earth. Okay, but Jesus wasn't talking about his presence on earth. He was talking about us concerning the witnesses, okay, of the presence of the holy city. Okay, so what Jesus was saying here, you all bear witness of the holy city. Okay, the glitter of her beauty is for all those that first come and accept my suffering grace. And you accept my suffering grace at that point in time. And so you're a witness of these things. I've been sharing these things with you. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay, so Jesus, I was saying this, where I go, you know, and the way you know. He's talking about is concerning the returning back to the crystal sea and the holy city. But Thomas, logically thinking, so Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know this way? And then Jesus at this point said to him, when he talked about this life, and Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we can see again, okay, the completion of the cycle. No man comes to the Father. You came out from the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay, but by me. You must abide within the orb of my light, okay, which the Father is. Okay, so I am the way, which is the steward and government of this prophetic path, which this knowledge confirms. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, because I also empower it. The anointing assists this knowledge. Okay, so no man, no common religion can see this mystery behind the veil. So no man comes to the Father but by me. That is the way which I am of this power. Now, let's jump over here. Make sure you put your marker, because we'll be coming back to the Gospel of John. We're going to jump over to Revelation 21. Now, in Revelation 21, he says here, okay, I saw a new heaven, new earth. Okay, so what the Lord is bringing to our attention here is that okay, the water sack breaks. And now we see a new era, okay, is born in her, a new era, an heir of life. So a new season begins, and as heirs of righteousness, we enter into her, okay, as princes and kings and priests. So the water sack breaks, and now a new season begins in her. So the true promise, okay, is not that which is of self-achievement, but by faith. And this is what Chief Elder Peter brings out in 2 Peter chapter 3. So I saw a new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven and first earth, which were other waters, were passed away. Okay, in these waters it ended. Okay, for now ended the contrast in the parables. See, because God now, like God, how God opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel to walk through, okay, joining them back to the promise. We now pass through the waters to the other side again. Okay, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. We talk about there's no more water separation of the crystal and the ice. Okay, as the holy city is now here on earth. Okay, right now we can see that there's seven layers of crystal and ice. Okay, of the seven heavens, okay, between this dimension, which is the lowest of the dimensions, to that which is also the seventh heaven, the highest. That there's, you can say, seven vortexes and seven gates. Okay, now, those will not be necessary anymore. Okay, so it's like a telescope. You're collapsing a telescope, okay, or rolling a scroll together. You unroll a scroll, okay, to see the different sections. Then the scroll rolls back together again to become one part. So you unroll it, and it becomes two portions, okay, or two points, from the left to the right. Okay, there's a distance and point. But when you're rolling back together again, there's no distance and point, but one roll. Okay, so this is what he's talking about right here. Okay, that which was two is now one. Okay, that which is labeled. When the Lord separated the dimensions, okay, he also took on a different form and a new name, which was pronounced to be the name of Jesus. All right, our Father took on that personification, okay, of manifestation for the purpose of this plan, okay, to come into the form of the flesh, okay, and to die at the hands of his own creation, but for the purpose of fulfillment and also to show this bonding. Okay, the bonding. The contrast had to be visually seen, okay, of these two kingdoms. And he says, now is the prince of this world cast out. Satan can't shield himself anymore behind the moral code. Okay, whereas the defiled conscience could take on, okay, the so-called virtues of righteousness. It cannot be concealed any longer, because the anointing will not allow its concealment. Okay, the anointing will not allow its concealment in those which consent. Okay, because now you have a pure conscience. Okay, so he says here, and there was no more sea. That's a sea of separations between these dimensions. Okay, and I, John, Jesus' chief elder John, as a church, okay, we live here in the symbolisms of the city. It takes the form of the bride, okay, versus the form of the harlot of Babylon. So we see the contrast. See, we see the holy city. Now, John first saw the false holy city, okay, which has to do with the mother of harlots, okay, and her standing castle. Okay, he saw that. And now he saw he saw the negative. Now he's seen the positive. He's providing a contrast for the church. Okay, that which is the first, which is self-consumption. Okay, the mother of harlots, whereas the bride of Christ, okay, is that which is in servitude to the husband. Okay, servitude to the Lord, the Lord of the spirits of all flesh. Okay, and he goes on here, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. How do you think we're New Jerusalem? Because she now took the form of a bride, coming down from God out of heaven. Okay, that was out of the throne, the veil. Okay, and she was accompanied with great music and great pomp, and angelic hosts were accompanying her as we witness these things and these dimensions. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepares a bride adorned for her husband. So it took the form of a female, okay, a bride, as God brought Eve to Adam. He's bringing the holy city to his Christ and is adorned. Okay, this was to mate to build his house, and this is what we do. Okay, as his children, mating to build his house, to kiss him, because the water of death has now been passed, is destroyed, removed. All right, and in verse 3 here, Now that the heavens have been cleansed and sterilized, now the heavens have to be cleansed and sterilized. Right now they're not; they're defiled. Okay, we see the prince of darkness. He placed his throne in the atmosphere, okay, above the earth, in the atmosphere, which is the first heaven called Willen. Okay, according to the Book of Enoch, it's called Willen. Okay, and in that, okay, everything within that dimension, okay, is defiled. We know that; that's a matter of fact. Everything in this dimension is built around death. Death, war, famine, loss, sorrow. Everything is built around that because that's the spirit, okay, that's ruling this dimension. When this takes place and unfolds, the heavens have been sterilized. Satan will be cast out, and then finally he's cast in the lake of fire. Abby has been cast in the lake of fire. Okay, everything has been sterilized, okay, by fire, as Chief Elder Peter described. Should be destroyed by fire, as by fire. Okay, they have been sterilized, okay, so that now the baby can be born. Okay, the new beginning. So I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God, which means observing this with great admiration, the house of his Shekinah, the fire, is now coming in this dimension. So I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. So we see fire and water coming together. And he, God now, he now covers them. He will dwell with them. He covers them. He bonds with them. And he will dwell with them, and they, in this dimension, a dimensional veil, okay, and they shall be his people in the inheritance, bearing the image and likeness of God. Okay, they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, because his conscience, being pure light, will be in them and on them, spirit, soul, and body, and the river of life shall create through them. Okay, that's what we see. That's what the doors are open for in the holy city, New Jerusalem. They shall not be shut at all by day or by night. They shall always be open, okay, as the pearls of the gate. Now, through these 12 gates will permeate, okay, a fragrance of life through all dimensions. Okay, it's like a flower. Okay, a flower releases its fragrance. And the holy city, as an opening flower, is going to release its fragrance through these 12 portals. Okay, these 12 gates. Okay, and so everything that exists outside of that, okay, will exist by that power. Okay, even as the fragrance of the garden, okay, filled the earth. When the Garden of Paradise was down here, okay, the fragrance will fill the earth. Adam could smell the fragrance of it. That's why God placed Adam at the north side. When the breeze would blow, Adam would not be able to smell the fragrance of the garden. Okay, that was just part of his punishment. They would not be able to smell the fragrance of the garden. Okay, though the children of Seth, okay, did smell the fragrance of the garden. Okay, and in the presence of the cave of treasures, okay, even the fragrance of the garden permeated their flesh into their bone. It permeated that, so that would sustain them. And can you imagine that, smelling the fragrance of the Garden of Paradise? Okay, that was a gift that was provided for them. That gift was continually provided for them to sustain their faith, okay, for that first 1,000 years, okay, until the Lord would take up Garden of Paradise, okay, and place it in the third heaven, okay, and then finally place the tree itself, okay, the tree of life within the holy city. All right, well, let's read on here. All right, and I heard a great voice, verse 3, and heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God, that's the orb now, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, because we are now in the unchangeable one. All scars of death will be circumcised from us. Okay, everything. It's like drying the water off the baby that's been just born. Okay, drying off the water from the baby. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The memory of the past and the things of the past be no longer necessary. Okay, its presence is necessary now for contrast, for discernment. Okay, but that will be no longer necessary. Okay, so it's going to remove it. So God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no longer any kind of breach, okay, which has to do with restriction. The breach brings restriction. That will be removed. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Okay, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain or curse of the time. For the former things, being the lower waters, being the enemy as sin, the former things are passed away because they're less than light. Anything that's less than light bears the face of shame, which is Satan. Okay, but the anointing upon the conscience of the righteous bear the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and that pleases our Father. And so there should be neither sorrow nor crying, neither should be any more pain, for the former things which were necessary are passed away. That's in these waters. For these were the enemies. They are now his footstool. And God is restored, now entered his rest. And his name is one with a new name, which is a secret name. The name which our Father will receive, okay, will be provided for us, which is secret. All of our names will bear, okay, will bear the initials of his. Now let's go back to John chapter 14. Okay, so where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? Now we just talked about that. Now Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay, so we can see that no common religion can see this mystery which is concealed behind the veil. Only the anointing gives you eyes. Okay, the anointing gives you eyes, like eyes of fire. Now, if you had known me, that means the witness of this prophetic path. If you know me, you should know my Father also, which means you should have been be able to recognize this witness. Okay, so all those which are truly born of the Spirit will see the witness of it, but all the carnal-minded, okay, the carnal-minded Christians, okay, will not see nor recognize the witness. Because they don't see nor recognize the witness, they have to create their own witness. The witness which the false religious system creates is the witness of man, which is the witness of the flesh, which has to do with the activity of the natural things. If you have known me, you should know my Father also, verse 7. And from henceforth you know him. We know him by this anointing. Anointing upon the steward is his face. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. But Philip said to him, verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. But Jesus then said to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How say you then, show us the Father? He speaks in the voice of his steward, his stewardship. The Spirit is the uncommon religion, which the world cannot see, nor will the logic receive. Then he goes on here, Believe you not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? What he's saying is here, Will you now embrace this, that I'm your record, and my Father sanctifies this in me now? This witness accompanies my record for your faith. So believe you not that I'm in my Father, and the Father in me? And we can also agree with that and see the same thing. Now the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, because the knowledge which I share is of the bosom of the crystal sea. That which was communicated in the bosom is that which I'm communicating now. And that's why he says here, Believe you not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. This is not of my aspiration. This is what was spoken to you in my Father's bosom. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. He empowers this knowledge. He is the one that's giving witness to my words for your record. Okay, now we go back to Revelation for a second, Revelation 19. Okay, as you put your marker there. Now in Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Okay, when he says the wife has made herself ready, he's talking about the stewardship, okay, which is unfolding in this dimension, okay, is now reflecting that, okay, which is the holy city of that dimension. Okay, we reflect that because God, our Father, put his essence, okay, within her physical construction. The physical construction, beginning with stewardship, the 12 foundation stones, okay, are the names of 12 apostles. Okay, which being of jasper and numerous colors, the first layer being jasper, connects to this that which is the foundation connects to the wall, and the wall was described within these dimensions. Okay, and its color was also a jasper, which shows that it was actually a wall of one face. At all from the wall to the foundation was of one face, and the city itself was as glowing gold. Okay, and the glowing gold has to do with the gold, which also covers the wood. Remember, the gold covered the wood. The Ark of the Covenant, okay, was made of wood, and the wood of its construction was overlaid with gold. Okay, and that's how we overcome. Okay, we overcome by the Spirit, because the wood had temporal substance. The wood actually would rot, okay, or grow it would shrink and finally decay. But the gold doesn't decay. It retains, okay, its substance through many generations and through many millennia. Okay, these archaeologists discovered things, okay, that were buried thousands of years ago, still retains, okay, its substance. That's the gold. Okay, but all other things, okay, lose their substance. So the gold overlays the wood, and so also the light of God overlays us, okay, as concerning our eternal substance. Okay, and so we see that there's a reflection here between that which is herself on this dimension to that which is of her of that dimension. So the bride, the holy city, New Jerusalem, is reflected within the construction, the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your soul here, okay, which is which shows that you are being formed by the mother of us all. Okay, so let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the wife has made herself ready here to increase his house there. Okay, so we see, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, Okay, not purple or scarlet as the mother of harlots, which had many lovers or many doctrines. Okay, but one truth is the holy city. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Okay, which means it was free of spot and wrinkle. It bore no history of the flesh. Okay, but it was only God's perfection. So this linen would shimmer. It would shimmer in the reflection of this light. Okay, of the light of the throne. So to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Okay, which is here now. To show their origin is here, being a cloud of witnesses as their covering. So our soul reflects her powers of fire to be joined to Christ. And then the angel said to me, which is the Apostle John here, okay, write this down. Now, this is what we're reading now, what he penned here. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, this knowledge shall increase in those that behave in this manner, because they shall abound in this virtue by the sign. So those which consented to grace are called to the marriage supper, the union of these powers. That's what we call it, the supper of the Lamb. So he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Okay, all that reflect the original pattern of his light. This is the voice of his throne. The voice of his throne mediates this plan. Okay, so we see the holy city bears the faces of all the righteous. Okay, as the looking glasses of the woman were fashioned as a covering for the altar. Okay, we see this in Exodus chapter 38. And that you will see your reflection in her to enter. You have to see your reflection in her to enter. Now let's go back to John chapter 14. So we jump from Revelation here, back to John chapter 14. And we'll continue on here. All right, we left off here. Believe you not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, in verse 10 here. So he's saying here, will you embrace this? That I am your record and my Father sanctifies this in me now. This witness accompanies my record for your faith. So believe you not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Now the words, which is this knowledge, now this the knowledge is your holy baptism, and this baptism is your cleansing. The words I speak, which are imperishable, okay, the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. These things I'm relating to you, it doesn't work with the aspiration of the flesh, okay, but it builds the kingdom of God within you. But the Father dwells in me, he does the works. He's the one that's empowering this knowledge. And this knowledge here, these works, is giving witness to the words for your record. Okay, so believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Accept this mystery that this dimension is as an orb of the Father, as an orb of the Father's house, a house of many chambers and rooms. And I am his voice here for you to see and hear me. To hear that you see him in me. So believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. But Jesus is saying that I have fulfilled his words in the mouth of all his prophets. Because Enoch here, for even Enoch saw my miracles. And he heard the name which is given to me 4,000 years ago. So believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Those which function in the anointing are in the eternal one, the eternal one. In the eternal one, there's no time. Okay, if there's no time, okay, that means we're not functioning in that which is linear but nonlinear. We are in the ever presence of God. So Jesus saying these things, okay, was bringing to the attention of the apostles, okay, that he was speaking nonlinear. Okay, believe me that I'm in the Father. That's the eternal one, and the Father in me. Okay, engrafted by the anointing. The angel that accompanies me is bringing to my mind all things, okay, which I convey to you in my Father's bosom. So verily, verily, I say unto you in verse 12, as then, so now. Verily, verily, as then, so now. Okay, I'm emphasizing this. As it was my Father's bosom, I emphasized, in the presence of this dimension of waters. And the dimension of fire, I emphasize. And the dimension of the water, I'm emphasizing. I have never changed. So verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me reflects and embraces this record. Okay, the works that I do, that's now for your record, shall he do also in the future. And greater works, which is in my Father's bosom. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Now there's many people in a false religious system that read this verse here in verse 12 and try to relate that to the greater works as concerning miracles and signs and wonders. It's not. Because there is no one has ever come up to the level of signs and wonders as our Lord Jesus Christ had in 3.5 years of his ministry. Okay, no man has ever come up to that to that expectation standard. So Jesus wasn't relating to that which is of the flesh, but that which is of the spirit, not that to the dimension of waters, but that which is the dimension of fire. Okay, greater works than these shall we do, because I go to my Father. This is to prepare your mansion, where these greater works would be unfolding. The chamber of your throne, because you're gonna fill it as a fiery pillar and a testimony for my Father. Okay, and then it goes on to verse 13. Those of my house, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, those of my house now, by this token of ownership, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorifying the Son. Okay, that is to show the cycle of life and the connection, of my commandments. The connection of my commandments. This is for your faith. Okay, connection of the covenant and these commandments for your faith. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So I have the word name there. Okay, if your petitions reflect my house, which bears my name, then I will confirm. Okay, I will confirm by my power. If she gets anything in my name, I will do it. There is many people out there that are continually bombarding the throne of God with Jesus' name, but they're not in his house. Okay, they're not of the house of, you can say, the house of David. Okay, those of the house of David petition God, okay, and he would answer them accordingly, as we see how David communicated with the Urim and Thummim, okay, which Abiathar brought to him, the ephod. And David inquired of God, and God communicated to him by that token, okay, the contact point and token. Okay, the priesthood and the stewardship work together. So if you love me, keep my commandments. This is your activity, which my Father is pleased with. By this form of reciprocation, you will glorify me, because this is your charity which pleases me. You must, of course, express me on these terms of a new law, okay, which has to do with the invisible priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. In verse 16, I will pray the Father, okay, and he says there, it is here where you receive your remission of sin, okay, even as Job prayed for his three friends. Job prayed for his three friends. Job was a steward. Job's prayers, okay, were their refuge. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. This other comforter he's talking about. The mediation of my stewardship, God sanctifies, but not in the law of Moses. Moses wrote that which is stone tablets. But I'm going to be engrafting, the comforter is going to be engrafting my knowledge within your heart. That's true regeneration, which has to do with a purified conscience. Okay, that which Moses received was written in stone. Okay, and the defiled conscience would read, okay, its condemnation within those stones. Okay, like a headstone, you're reading your condemnation, the words of death. Okay, but now he's writing in your hearts, okay, a testimony of life. And these things being inscribed, okay, are the words of our adoption. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. As you get your sacrifices ready here. He calls us the spirit of truth, because it's facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. What are these facts consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan? Okay, it's the fruit bearing, okay, of our reciprocation. The fruit bearing of reciprocation bears his face. Okay, what he says, what he does, and its fruit. Okay, it is here and there. The anointing will confirm my Father's will, which the protesters, even there, he would not receive. And the faithless ones, okay, will refuse and deny. So even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. So if you're when you're on Facebook or when you're in Twitter and you're relating to them this testimony, okay, they find it very difficult to relate to this. Okay, because the anointing, only by the anointing can they relate to this house. Can they relate to the house? Only by the anointing we can relate to that. It's by the anointing we relate to our Lord Jesus Christ, see? And by the anointing, you relate to the stewardship, and the stewardship of this house. Okay, we brought that out last week. Okay, the house, this would be like called the house of Eva. The house of the second, eighth week would be the house of Eva, as the house of David was in the fifth week. Okay, the house of David. Okay, so the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, okay, would relate to those of the house, being those of faith, okay, accepting the stewardship, okay, working and functioning with the priesthood. So he calls it the spirit of truth in this form of relation. The world cannot receive it because it doesn't see any value in it, any value in this thing, because this priesthood is invisible and not joined to Levitical genealogies or visible temple or visible tokens. Because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. But now you see him, you see the Father in me as I speak unto you this mystery by the anointing. Okay, but now you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. But they can't hear the truth through the stewardship because they use the law for the mouth of their justification. We use the anointing for the mouth of our justification. Okay, Samson used the voice of the anointing for his justification. Okay, David used the voice of the anointing for his justification. Jesus used the voice of the anointing for his justification. We use the voice of the anointing for our justification. And by this, he comforts us. And this is the way he says, I will not leave you comfortless. Okay, through the stewardship here, you're being joined to him. So he says, I'm not going to abandon you. And I'm not going to leave you without any tokens. So I'll not leave you comfortless. For I am in this power for your rest now and forever. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 1, okay, concerning the bonds of this gospel. Okay, and we'll be closing in a moment here. Okay, so we're going to turn over to Philippians, okay, and Philippians chapter 1. Okay, so the Apostle Paul, and this is what we began here in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, this is what I was relating to you, okay, through the selection of verses from John to Revelation. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness by these power, these are the power tokens, okay, which are by Jesus Christ. Okay, so we show that the tokens are of himself unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that things which happened to me have fallen out rather in the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul's using himself as that scale, okay, and also as concerning the steward of the house for the furtherance of the gospel. This is what we talked about in John chapter 14. Okay, concerning the house of our peace. Okay, through the stewardship, this is the house of your peace, the place of your rest, okay, the refuge for your faith. So these things, he says, have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, the knowledge which he's provided, the Apostle Paul provided for them, continually provided the saints there at Philippi, okay, with this contrast. Since the very beginning in Genesis, our Father created contrast, light and darkness. Height and depth, fluids and solids. He created good and evil. He provided these contrasts for the challenges, for your choices, for your rewards, and for this eternal inheritance, okay, which he's provided for us. Okay, this mystery is that which is concealed behind that veil, okay, which, of course, regards to stewardship, okay, unfolding it. Even as the angel, okay, of that first covenant, okay, split the veil of the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom. Okay, which shows that which is of the spirit is superior to that which is earthly and earthbound and fleshly is superior. See? So the Spirit of the Lord split the veil so that now we can see, okay, with a pure conscience. We can see the Father's plan for us and how this plan is going to be played out in us now, okay, as also at the time of the rapture and forever.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.